02.
I hope you had a fabulous 4th of July weekend and saw some fat fireworks. Fat, by the way, means the other, PH fat. Wonderful fireworks. I saw some pretty spectacular ones myself. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Sadly, there were some terrible horror shows across the United States when it came to fireworks. In North Carolina, four people were killed by a fireworks accident, one in Pennsylvania, and then this strange bridge collapse after a fireworks show in Indiana. 100 people were thrown into the water, and a sad story about a Disney worker hurt in the monorail crash. We'll talk about all that sad stuff a little bit later on the show. Also, speaking of sad, Steve McNair, who once almost won the Super Bowl, missed it by just a few inches. Steve McNair, you might remember him from his Tennessee days or Baltimore days at the tail end of his career in Nashville, Tennessee. He was found dead with his 20-year-old girlfriend. A lot of the speculation is possibly murder-suicide, but then there are tales that he was threatened and also that she had a boyfriend who had a hot temper, an ex-boyfriend that might have somehow been in the way. Who knows? I would think that this one gets wrapped up pretty quickly, though, with those great detectives in Nashville who are all over this, of course, investigating it. And the big thing heading into the weekend, a lot of fireworks, was Sarah Palin, the governor of Alaska, who in some circles couldn't be more popular, let's face it. She sells out when she goes and gives speeches. A lot of people like Sarah Palin, perhaps for 2012, and instead she mysteriously decides to pull out, not be the governor, toss it to the lieutenant governor, and step aside in just the next couple of weeks. Late on Friday, here's what she said.
It would be apathetic to just kind of hunker down and go with the flow. We're fishermen. We know that only dead fish go with the flow.
All right, so she didn't want to go with the flow apparently anymore. So some people are speculating, is it because of this presidential run? She wants to, start crisscrossing the country, beef up her knowledge on certain things. Then there's other people who feel like it could be a talk show she's being offered. I think there is something up her sleeve. I don't know what it is. I heard from a couple of people in broadcasting that Roger Ailes and Fox, that they've kind of been courting Sarah Palin. If there's any truth to that rumor whatsoever, then of course the more cynical crowd or just people who think, well, this is what happens with politicians, think that there might be something else going on with Sarah Palin. So after staying out of the public eye for most of Sunday, or Saturday rather, it's kind of crazy, on Sunday she announced she would, you know, give up that, a day after she announced she would give up her job as governor, she indicated on a social networking site, because, you know, everybody's doing that, Twitter, et cetera. They're releasing information that way. So she decided to use that. And all she's saying is she's taking on a larger national role, a higher calling to unite the country along conservative lines. The only other thing I thought, do you think Michael Steele gets shoved out and Sarah Palin is the woman behind the Republican Party? Would they give her that position? Would that be a possibility? Because that fits it. Larger national role, higher calling, conservative lines. I don't know. Maybe I'm fishing here. Here's what Vice President Joe Biden had to say on one of the Sunday shows about Sarah Palin.
Those who've been deeply involved in politics know at the end of the day, it is really and truly a personal deal. And personal family decisions have a real impact on people's decisions. I love reading these history books and biographies of people. The reason they made the choice to run or not run was because of the state of the economy. It maybe had a lot to do with what the state of their life was and the state of their family, etc. So I'm not going to second guess her. I respect her decision. I don't know what prompted her decision to not only not run again and also to step down as a consequence of the decision not to run in 2010. I take her at her word that it had a personal ingredient in it, and you have to respect that.
All right, you heard what he had to say. What do you think is really going on with Sarah Palin? 800-259-5791, the magical numbers to dial those digits and be heard. 800-259-5791. Obviously, we're going to talk about this a bunch as well during this show. And as I mentioned, Palin pretty low, except for that, as far as on the radar, except for the fact that on Sunday she started to pop up on Twitter. A couple of quick things. The FBI told a Los Angeles Times reporter that the feds are not investigating Palin's activities in any way as governor, even as a former mayor, anything else at all, that there is nothing on their radar. Also, the special agent in Alaska said there's no truth to the rumors that we're investigating her or getting ready to indict her. Absolutely zero truth to that. So this just adds to the mystery. She'll be gone. She's done on July 26th, and then the Lieutenant Governor Sean Parnell takes her place. And that's it. So a lot of people going crazy trying to figure out what is the scoop on Sarah Palin. Is this the way to lay the groundwork for 2012? Is she going to be in some kind of a visible place in the private sector? As I said, I heard about Roger Ailes and Fox reaching out to her, if there was any truth to that. And that could make sense. If she did a talk show, she'd be visible. She could go on the speaking circuit. She gets a ton of money to go and speak. That could be what it is. I definitely don't think she's going to drop out of the limelight. I don't think that's what it is at all. She's not going to just drop out of being the governor and stay there in a cabin, in her giant log cabin in Alaska. That's not going to happen. Now, there are a lot of people in that state who are not happy with Sarah Palin stepping down because they think that she should have an explanation for why she's decided to just boot the office in a couple of weeks. What is the deal? And I would assume that what will happen here is whatever it is she's going to do, we'll know in the next few weeks, probably by the time she steps down. There has to be, I believe, something that is already waiting, something on the hook. I don't think she's just tossing this out lightly and saying, okay, well, I know people want me to speak and I can certainly make a living and I can try to rally the GOP, especially the conservative vein. Mm-mm. I'm thinking there's probably something much, much bigger on the horizon, and all the darts that I've thrown at the board through all the sources I have could be wrong as well, but I wouldn't be shocked by the broadcasting route. Certainly she's going to do a book, and we know she's going to give more speeches, but is that what she's going to do for the years leading up to the next possibility of being a presidential candidate, and how much would stepping away from being the governor hurt her? 800-259-5791. I mentioned at the top of the hour, because I don't want it to be all sour and dour, hopefully you spent time with your families and had a good 4th of July. I got to go see a fireworks show in Richardson, Texas. It was mind-blowing, 30 minutes, really wonderful, wonderful fireworks. Some of the best, I think, that I've ever seen, shockingly. I would put them up there with some that I saw at the Macy's fireworks display in New York. So how about you? Hope you're still enjoying your 4th of July weekend. Coming up next, the mystery of the Airbus and some flights that have gone down recently. Our pal DJ Frost joins us, the pilot, to discuss some of his thoughts on what's going on. That's next here on America Tonight.
Your relationships are a mirror of you.
That's good news, because it means you have the power to effect positive change in the quality of love you create in your life.
It's all up to you.
Join us, Joseph and Sarah Malinak, for Creating Your Ideal Relationship on WebTalkRadioNetwork.com.
We'll help you create loving, ideal relationships. Give us a listen at WebTalkRadioNetwork.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-800-800. 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. July 3rd, 2009. Gold's at $933.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $960.74, $480.37 for a half ounce, and $240.18 for a quarter ounce. That's $960.74, $480.37, and $240.18.
On June 4th, 1963, an unknown presidential decree, Executive Order 11110, was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
It's what the ghost stand for. It's to unlock the door. All around him criticize and say,
I won't. Talking about this, hey everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. How sad it is that this Yemeni Airlines crashed into the Indian Ocean off the island nation of Comoros, and just the one survivor, the 12-year-old girl, didn't even swim. Lucky they found her. She'd been in the water for 12, 13 hours, and then 152 other souls lost as a result of that plane crash. Of course, it's another Airbus, so there are a lot of questions surrounding these flights. And as somebody said to me, Jesus, it's safe to fly if you're flying to or from third world countries. So we've had him on a couple times, and he's so great on the air. We love to talk to him. DJ Frost joins us now, and he's a pilot who has traveled all over the place, flown internationally. Hey, DJ, how are you? Did you have a good fourth?
I certainly did, Kate. How are you? Thank you for having me on again.
Oh, of course. You know, it is, does it make you wonder, should people be worried? Because I have friends that crawl around all over the place, and if they're fortunate enough and they can kind of ping and pong, they've saved up and they're doing things in other places where they would be on flights like this. Is there reason to be concerned?
You know what? In some cases with third world airlines, there is. And once again, it's about people looking at the choices they're making and studying the airlines and really making an informed decision. Sometimes it's not just the price that should be the decision maker in this instance.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. And is there something with the Airbus or something with this particular type of plane that we're talking about?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that this is an older Airbus. It was like their second generation. They had the A300. This was the A310 that crashed. The Air France one was the A330. And I know people are stressed about flying, and I got some great stress relief techniques at flystressfree.com if they are having a little bit of apprehension about flying this summer. The thing to keep in mind, though, is that some of these countries may be just, I mean, I'm almost wondering if there was a wind shear problem, if there was something training with their crew. There's a lot of little factors there. Once again, it's that chain of events of what might have happened with this particular plane on this approach. They had already done one approach, did a missed approach, were coming in again for a landing. I have a couple of things in my mind that could be the problem there. Either they could have hit some wind shear, and they didn't have the wind shear detection system that all airlines in the United States have by FAA rules, or they might have run out of fuel. I'm almost thinking about that, too, that they might have got to a point where they just had fuel exhaustion, which has happened before, too, with some foreign airliners. The Avianca crash in New York is one, for instance.
Oh, yeah, that was awful. And, you know, when you talk about, it's interesting, you say about flying when you have to make some decisions when you're trying to fly. Is there something about, hey, if the airline is promising fly practically free, maybe it's not the flight you want to get on?
Good, and that's right, exactly right. And what's more important, too, about this particular airline was this airplane had already been put on a watch notice. That means the European Union had already found some discrepancies with this airline in this particular aircraft. Now, it might have been certain mechanical items that weren't crucial for flight that might have been deferred that allowed them to fly for a certain amount of time, yet they might not have been fixed them then on that time schedule. What this says to me then is if they were letting things like this begin to slide, possibly this culture then within this company and at this airline then could have been throughout the rest of the airline, could have been within their training, could have been within their maintenance, could have been with their overall safety program. And this has happened with other airlines before.
Yeah, with the the fact that they ignored the watch notice, I mean, this is a legal thing, but you would also believe that some of the victims' families would have a heck of a lawsuit in saying that, listen, they were negligent in what they did in flying this plane. Do you think that's something that could happen?
Well, it is interesting to look at, too, that they didn't bring this particular aircraft up to Paris to pick up these people. They had a different airplane that they brought down to their hub then in Yemen, and then they transferred them to this 310. So it's very curious to why they did that. And what exactly was the maintenance situation with that aircraft or possibly the crew training? So if people are going to be flying on Third World Airlines, definitely pay attention to that. Now, my particular airline, when we have to commercial around and deadhead to different areas around the world, we do have certain airlines that are banned airlines that our company will not allow us to travel on.
Really? So there's something to say, no, you can't do that. You can't travel on these airlines because of their safety record or whatever?
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. And, you know, there's only one survivor. So how miraculous is that, that the 12-year-old girl, how do you explain that?
All I can explain is God, the good Lord, came down and it was her day. It was her day to live, and hopefully she could shed a little bit more light on what happened. I'm not sure. She might have been just sleeping or something through this. It's obviously, though, they haven't found people who have flung their life jackets on them or had any idea that a ditching situation was coming up. So that's why I said either it's going to be wind shear situation with the weather the way it is. I mean, they were saying almost 70-mile-per-hour winds. My goodness, this isn't like 75 about a hurricane, a Category 1 hurricane. And that's what I'm almost wondering then, did they run out of fuel then because they were already on their second approach? And I'm sure at that point then they were probably running out of some ideas and time of what they needed to do if they didn't even make this approach at that point and do a successful landing.
Yeah. You know, and talking about those airlines, too, one of the complaints that over some of those flights is they don't have seat belts, and sometimes they're overcrowded. Passengers actually stood in aisle. I didn't know you could even do that on a plane.
Well, I haven't personally seen that on any airlines I've flown on. You know what? It's outside of the United States, the rules are different, and I know I've talked with some other interviews that there's an international organization, ICAO, that has the general rules about airlines, yet each airline and each country has their own set of rules, and like I was pointing out, they might not have even had a wind shear detection system, which is mandated by the FAA for our airlines to have here. Plus, we have wind shear training every year when we go in the simulator that we practice and we work on just in case. So we're very well up to speed on all of this in the United States, and I would say generally within Europe and all these other airlines though, around the world. It's a hit or miss thing then. What exactly are they conforming with within their training and their safety regulations?
Yeah, no kidding. So your website you were talking about, go to flystressfree.com, and more people are stressed out about flying. Of course, anytime you hear about any air tragedy, no matter where it is, people start to wonder about flying, particularly if they're already they already have that in their mind that they're a little bit shaky about getting on planes. And we know there's a lot of famous people who won't fly, the Aretha Franklins, and John Madden was famous for that, taking a bus everywhere when he had to cover all the games. What are a couple of quick things that people can do?
Well, you know, and I still want people to understand it's still a very safe way to go. And when these happen, these crashes happen, they are so unusual that they do get a lot of notoriety. And I mean, I just put my son on an airplane a few days ago. He flew off to Taipei. He's in Taipei, Taiwan right now. So I do believe in travel and it's being safe, and I put my family on airplanes. I think a very important thing for people to do just to have power is to, when they get on an airplane, really pay attention where those emergency exits are. Have a visual reference to where they are in front of them, behind them. I just watched 60 Minutes tonight, and they were talking about how that evacuation went so smoothly with U.S. Air Flight 1549 and how people listen to the flight attendants. The flight attendants are very well trained, and it's so important for people to listen to their directions and listen to that briefing every time. It's just to put the magazine down for 5 minutes and listen to this could save a person's life, literally.
Yeah, boy, I so agree with you on that one. DJ, thanks. We appreciate the time, buddy. We'll talk to you down the road.
You're welcome very much. I'm glad I could help you and your audience get even more educated tonight. Thank you very much, Kane.
You're welcome. And again, you can check out the website, flystressfree.com. As somebody who's flown all over the world, he certainly knows some interesting thoughts about if you find yourself overseas internationally, maybe you just kind of dig around before you jump on a flight. And I know what he's talking about. You know, I've flown on the airlines in Mexico.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worried how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from? You know that the economy is getting worse,
but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold, hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Come away with me in the night.
All right, so I mentioned that I was watching fireworks over the weekend on the side of a hill, and probably about 10 different teenagers, no exaggeration, went by the group that I was with. And you know, all of them, I mean, we're talking young teens, like 13, 14, they were all listening, because you could hear it, it was pumping so loud. They were listening to some Michael Jackson, whatever it was, whether it was Beat It, Billie Jean, Thriller, some Michael Jackson song was playing. So Michael Jackson all the time has continued on a lot of networks. If you flipped on any of the cable networks, especially CNN, they did a lot of tributes to Michael Jackson. And, of course, the True Hollywood Stories and all the entertainment shows are going to cover it nonstop. But the non-entertainment shows are still covering Michael Jackson. Now, the memorial is Tuesday at the Staples Center. And here's what's interesting. 1.6 million ticket requests, because only 18,000 can go to this, right? 18,000 tickets anyway on online. So they're expecting the Los Angeles folks, the cops, are expecting 700,000 onlookers. Really? And that's exactly what I said. Someone got in an argument with me the other day, somebody else in the media, and they were saying, oh, you're crazy. There's nowhere for them to go. I said, are you kidding? People are jamming the flights to LAX just to be there, just to be outside of this memorial, even if they can't get tickets or somehow they think they're going to be able to beg for tickets or scalp tickets or, you know, whatever. But the bottom line is, if you look at that statistic, I mean, 18,000 tickets online and they had 1.6 million try to get them. Honestly, I think it's going to be chaos outside of the Staples Center. And of course, the Reverend Al Sharpton, like the Reverend Jesse Jackson and so many others who knew Michael Jackson, was preaching from the pulpit. And here's a couple of things he had to say about the media and the Jackson family and Michael Jackson himself.
It was because of Michael America got comfortable enough to later accept an Oprah, accept a Tiger Woods, accept a Barack Obama. We don't disrespect any of us. We don't want you disrespecting the Jacksons.
Okay, so because there have been other stories that have been done about what was going on and the drugs, etc., and what about the family and what about Joe Jackson, that's what Al Sharpton is referring to. And people are scrambling to go to this memorial, honestly. I mean, 10 a.m. on Tuesday. And whether the body's going to be there or not, that's still very, very unclear. If it's just going to be the celebration and photographs and videos of him or how they're putting it together, you know, who knows? It still isn't written in stone or hasn't been released anyway as to, again, whether or not he will actually be there. But if you have that capacity, you've got 700,000. Oh, I can't imagine now in Los Angeles. I started to think about this over the weekend and I saw a story somewhere and I thought that's exactly what I'm thinking. As you know, because we've talked about it here on the show, California is drowning in debt. I mean, they're drowning. The state workers were told to only work a couple of days last week because they had no money to pay them. Now you're going to have cops in Los Angeles who are going to have to do the overtime thing because there's no way you can have that many people descend outside the Staples Center without some kind of security or police presence. There's just no possible way. And in the meantime, while all this planning takes place, the questions still surround, okay, if he was a walking pharmacy, if there were so many drugs inside Michael Jackson, where is he getting all these drugs? And he had many doctors, apparently. There are five doctors that are being looked at for illegally prescribing Michael Jackson drugs that he shouldn't have been prescribed. And here's what Mark Caverly from the DEA had to say about that.
Physicians have a responsibility, and under the federal law, the prescriptions they write need to be for a valid medical purpose.
Yeah, for a valid medical purpose, not, please, can you give me some Diprovan because it makes me feel better, and that's what it's looking like more and more. Hey, Matt, I'll ask you this. First of all, isn't it crazy how many people are just flying to Los Angeles from what I heard, that all over the country? I mean, they are jamming the flights trying to get there tomorrow or at the latest get there very, very early at the crack of dawn, like a red-eye flight to L.A., so that they, meaning the people, can possibly get down to the Staples Center, which isn't too far from LAX, and maybe have a crack at getting inside the memorial.
Yeah, it's crazy that all these people are trying, they're going out there without even knowing if they have tickets to the memorial service or anything like that. They're just going out there to be kind of a part of it and be almost like a bystander, even though, you know, the cops and everybody is telling everyone to stay away. But, and I did read, too, the ESPN Zone across the street from the Staples Center is going to be showing the event live. And it's only the second time they've ever had a non-sporting event there. The only other time was during 9/11.
Yeah, and that makes sense because they're in the perfect location to do that, and because you know you're going to have an overflow of bodies. There's just not going to be any place for these people to go. I've been to the Staples Center many times, and, you know, you jam the parking lot, and outside of it there's only so much room to begin with. They're not, the people, telling people to stay away is smart because, you know, Matt, for goodness sake, they're not going to be able to see anything. They're not going to be able to see anything. They're not going to be able to see any tributes or anything that goes on. So unless you live in California or if you live in Los Angeles and you're just going down the road, man, I just don't get it. You'd be so much smarter to save your money, stay home, and listen to some of his music and watch the memorial rather than flip a coin and try to get there, it doesn't make any sense, because even if there is some people trying to sell their tickets, I don't think there's going to be, certainly there's not going to be enough available that a ton of people are going to be able to get in and see this anyway. So you're more than, like I said, flipping a coin, rolling the dice, whatever. It's not even like going to the Super Bowl where it can be tough to get tickets, but you trust me, you can always find a ticket if you have enough money. Even the Masters, the hardest ticket in sports to get, let's say, you know what? Guess what? You can get a ticket if you have enough money with you and you're willing to part with your money. I don't think it's going to be the same thing with the Michael Jackson deal. And I'll be curious as to how they pull this together, this memorial. I'm assuming that you're going to have musical tributes maybe from some musical acts, especially being located in Los Angeles. But will it be the kind of memorial where you do, where you have singing, or you just have all these glowing tributes and you have his body's there on display, so to speak, or not? And that's very, very unclear at this point. But hey, if somebody wanted to go and they're one of the 1.6 million and you get lucky and you get a ticket, and they get two tickets actually, well then good for you. It's like winning the lottery, I guess, if you wanted to go and see that. I get the Michael Jackson music thing. I get he's the king of pop. I get that there was some influence in what he did and cutting across, you know, color lines, which is what Al Sharpton is saying, that he was a forerunner to the Oprahs and the Tiger Woods and all that sort of stuff. I get that, absolutely. But the amount of coverage on this still is, I guess, stunning to me, other than, as I mentioned before, in America Tonight, the reason there is so much coverage is because it's about ratings. And if America wants to see it, then they're going to get fed it. And despite all the things going on and what we constantly say here on ATN, because this is massive water cooler buzz, and there are a million things to talk about. Obviously, Sarah Palin was a huge story. Other things closer to home, like the economy, like what's happening with this climate control bill. Certainly, if you want to look at world events and our involvement in them, the fact that we've got men and women sacrificing now in Afghanistan, what's the latest there? North Korea firing missiles, Honduras, which we're going to talk about, by the way, Honduras rejecting the former president, redirecting the plane and having problems in the street in Honduras with supporters of President, or former President Zelaya, and all that entails, cutting off aid to Honduras, what our Secretary of State had to say. But yet, no kidding, if you were to ask somebody, if we were to take even a poll, I think here on America Tonight, there still is enough interest in the Michael Jackson deal. And maybe it's the mystery. Maybe it's the mystery that surrounded him, that people want to feel it, touch it, know it, figure it out or something. I'm not sure. Because it certainly goes beyond the music and goes way beyond, I believe, Princess Di. I understood in some ways the Princess Di thing, the tragedy, blaming the paparazzi, the whole thing, and her own mystery of her life. But in the case of Michael Jackson, I get the music thing, but the phenomenon over examining over and over and over again all these facets of his life now, and it's been weeks, I'm thinking, what happens after the memorial? Because after the memorial, how much more can you cover? How much, where can you go from here, right? All right, if you want to chime in on Michael Jackson, are you sick of the coverage of Michael Jackson? You can certainly do that. And obviously, Sarah Palin, what you think her future holds. Do you think it's just, hey, she knew that she had bigger fish to fry and realized she was wasting her time. I don't want to say wasting her time, but kind of isolated in Alaska, and she realized that she had more of a pulpit going onto a bigger stage? Or is there something else to the whole Palin deal? Coming up next, our daily salute, and what a whopper it is. 800-259-5791. Kate, hanging with you here on ATN.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from PepperSpray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Chews for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time you stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922 or go to orderchews.com.
The match that would never end, almost similar to the match at Wimbledon last year in the men's final, where Rafa Nadal ended up beating Roger Federer, who was reduced to tears. It was so incredible, maybe one of the greatest matches ever. And it was almost duplicated on this day in England. And, of course, an American was involved, Annie Roddick, who has won one Grand Slam. And that would be the U.S. Open back in 2003. Now, the counterpart, of course, Roger Federer, 14 Grand Slams to his name. He was a chance to make history for Roger Federer by getting his 15th. And in the end, it went to a fifth set. It went on and on and on. And here's what the match point sounded like.
4 hours, 17 minutes, and finally Federer has a championship point.
Yeah, he certainly does stand alone. He was so excited, beyond excited after the match. And, of course, he was. Pete Sampras, Pistol Pete, whose record he broke only took him 7 years to break Pete's record. Crazy, crazy good. And Pete never shows up to any of the events. Decided to get on a plane on Friday night, shows up, gets there in time for Wimbledon to watch Roger Federer win this one, a heartbreaker for Andy Roddick. And here's what Federer had to say to Johnny Mack after the match.
I just tried to really hang in there. I mean, it was so tough, you know. I couldn't get a read, you know, for basically 4 hours on Andy's serve. And even at the end, you know, it took a little bit of luck. And so it's great to that the match has an end, you know. Definitely doesn't feel maybe as great as maybe winning a straight set, you know, where people are maybe more happy for you because this is a tough moment for Andy in his career. But I hope he can really come back because he's a wonderful guy and a wonderful player. So it's a tough moment for him, but unbelievable moment for me. And, you know, winning French and now Wimbledon back-to-back, just, you know, it's crazy. it's crazy to have won that many Grand Slams. It's amazing to have won Wimbledon again. You know, it's really the trophy that means the most to me, and it just feels great.
All right, so like I said, another epic battle for Roger Federer, and another five-set marathon. He wins it. So now he holds the biggest record in tennis. Here's what Andy Roddick had to say on the losing side of this.
No, I'm one of the lucky few that gets cheered for, you know, so thank you for that. I appreciate it. I just want to say congratulations to Roger. You know, he's a true champion, and he deserves everything he gets. So, well done, Roger.
You threw everything at him, didn't you?
Well, I tried. Sorry, Pete. I know I tried to hold him off. It was a pleasure playing here today in front of great champions like Pete, Manolo, Rod, and Bjorn there. I still hope one day that my name will be up there with theirs as a winner of this tournament, and I'll be back.
All right, so the crowd really was cheering for Andy Roddick, too, not all Roger Federer. So that was nice to see that, but it had to be an extremely tough loss. Roger Federer had 50 aces in this match. He's not known for his big serve, but his placement was so good it was tough at times for Andy Roddick to return it. It really was one of these matches where it was shoot and hold, shoot and hold, shoot and hold, and that's what it was. They were like two cowboys out there. And in the end, Roger just had enough to tip the balance, 16-14. That's how it went. So the daily salute. Do we have our audience on their feet? Perhaps we're lucky because they're pretty tired. Ah, look at that. I know it's rough, guys. After a 4th of July weekend. Yeah, absolutely. That's for you. That's for you, Andy Roddick, too, by the way. But the salute has to go to Federer for making history, 15 slams, and he still has a lot left in the tank, not even 30 yet at this point. I think he's going to be around for some time to come. Now, Matt, you're a sports fan, but you didn't happen to see this. It was pretty early in the morning. It started at like 8:30 in the morning, but pretty amazing. You're a guy in your 20s. Imagine that, what he's been able to accomplish at such a young age, and how it just took 7 years and he passed Pistol Pete. I think Sampras was pretty surprised how quickly he did it.
Yeah, I might have to reevaluate my life and all the goals I haven't achieved. But yeah, it was a little early in the morning for me, being 4th of July. I was out celebrating with some friends out on the lake, so I had a little later morning. And the match was already over with, but I did catch some replays of it and watch the highlights. So, tough loss for Andy Roddick. I like to pull for the Americans, and it just didn't happen. But this is the one time where Roddick finally showed up, because it's been a couple tournaments since he's actually been in the finals and played well.
Oh, no kidding. I've seen him play so many matches, Matt. I've been to the U.S. Open. I've been fortunate to be able to go to the Open a bunch of times, and I've seen him play okay in the early rounds, but then really get stumped, hit a lot of double faults, as big as his serve is. I've seen him choke on his serve, too, on some key points, and his backhand failing him, and he really pulled it together for this tournament. He upset Leighton Hewitt in five sets, and then to dramatically get to the point where he's there against really the best guy, Roger Federer, and to play that way. Federer said it. it would have been so much easier to have a straight set win instead of to go down this way for Andy Roddick. But let's see if that he uses this to spur himself on. And for all the people listening to America tonight, we do mention sports. We do a thing called Sports Shorts. And this was the big story, I think, the American bouncing back the way that he did. And, of course, Federer, this 15th win. But the fact that now Andy Roddick, a little bit on the radar, maybe we'll have an American to cheer for that will actually get it done in the next couple of tournaments. Like I said, if I were Roddick, as disappointing as it is, he could possibly use this to fuel those fires, those competitive fires. Sad story, too, in Sports Shorts. I mentioned this at the top of the hour just briefly. But NFL quarterback Steve McNair, he retired in 2008. Sad, sad story. They're not calling it a murder-suicide, but there are a lot of strange things surrounding his death. It happened on Saturday morning, very, very early. Anyway, his body was found. He was found with his 20-year-old girlfriend just dead at his feet from a single bullet. He was shot 4 times, and apparently McNair had been dating this woman for several months. He, of course, is a married man. He has 4 sons, and there's a lot of questions surrounding what happened here. How did this happen? And he was found in a condo overlooking Titans Stadium, and it's just, geez, a depressing story, because certainly on the surface, a nice guy who did a lot for charity, was always willing to talk to people. He donated, I remember this, tons of water and food and clothes. In fact, he loaded it onto tractor trailers, had people do that, and arranged for the Hurricane Katrina victims to get all the supplies they needed, and he did it a couple of times. He also did a couple of football camps for kids on his own, paid for all this, everything, and that's the kind of guy that he was. But something went awry in this relationship, and who knows what it is. There's no record of a divorce case. He had a house in Nashville that's on the market for $3 million. So it's a crazy story that I'm sure it's going to have a crazy ending. Matt, weren't you surprised to hear about Steve McNair?
Yeah, definitely, because it just came out of nowhere. And he's so young, too, and he just retired like a year ago or something like
36.
That.
36.
And you always heard that Steve McNair was kind of the upstanding guy, always helped out in the community and things like that. So just definitely came as a shock. One of my buddies text messaged me yesterday, and I was just like, no way, I can't believe that. You know, it just doesn't sound like something that would happen to him.
Yeah, 13 years in the NFL, and I think a lot of people remember the Super Bowl where the Titans lost to the Rams 23-16. It was oh so close, a very tough loss for Steve McNair, but he was, by all accounts, a very, very, very well-liked man and very, very generous with his time. So that's sad, and we feel sorry for the loss, certainly for his family. We wish them the best. All right, we have to end on a kind of a crazy note. You ever hear those funny one-liners? Anybody out there good at funny one-liners? I thought I'd try to lift the load a little bit. Here's one for you. A closed mouth gathers no feet.